Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Let us pray. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Can you know the truth? Can you really know the truth? Or must we be always in search of it to be, that is to say, agnostic? That word agnostic, it comes from the Greek word for ignorant. Agnostics are therefore those who take pride in that naivety to say, not only do I not know the central truths of the universe, but that it's even impossible to truly know the truth. So that even if most Americans are theists, that is, they claim that God exists, perhaps even having a surface level nominal belief in Jesus, many are functionally agnostic when it comes to what God says. They just don't know on the one hand, they've never encountered the scriptures in such a way, or they might just have a cloud of doubt over the truthfulness of what they hear in church or what they read in the Bible. But the true functional agnostics in our midst, in our world, they want to say that you don't know either. That those who are confident in the scriptures as God's word are really just going along with these fables that their parents passed on to them. They're merely a product of their culture. And this spirit of agnosticism is so strong in our country today that if you express any kind of religious conviction, you're naturally looked down upon, regarded as one of those religious people below us secular minds, those who we ought not to take too seriously. But Jesus promised his disciples on the night he was betrayed, and without any doubt that he in fact did say it, as these are historically verified documents of history. Jesus declared that they, the disciples, will know the truth. They wouldn't have to wonder. Jesus didn't give them instructions on how to search for truth somewhere else out there. That's what the Greeks were doing. No, he promised to give them the Holy Spirit of truth. And that's just what he did. This Jesus, he who is the way, the truth, and the life, had taught his disciples those last 3 years as they stood in the midst of truth incarnate. But so long as he still had to die, rise, and ascend, the disciples would have a blind spot of putting together everything that Jesus taught. They needed the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to come and help them, to teach them. Even to promise that they would thereafter remember perfectly everything that Jesus ever taught them. One of the most important verses in Scripture, that Jesus promises the apostles would remember perfectly everything Jesus taught them, which validates the Scriptures. So the knowledge of the truth, it sets us free. And we should remember that God, though, isn't some mathematical problem for us to figure out. He's not like a jigsaw puzzle that we must put together, not a philosophical riddle for us Greeks, Athenians to solve. No, God decides and delights to reveal himself. We don't figure him out. He shows himself to us, and we humbly submit to what he says clearly. In these ears that he made us to hear, he allows us to simply believe. And this really has to be for there to be hope for anybody, for the lowest, less least intellectual among us to the highest intellectual Greek in Jesus' day. This has to be how we sinful, finite creatures can grasp at our infinite Creator. He has to speak clearly. So, he welcomes us into his presence, especially for us then to not have terror at falling into the wrath of our Maker. He speaks kindness and welcomes us, makes himself known, especially through the cross, where his goodwill is seen through his own suffering. So, to know the Father then is to know him in the sending of his Son. The Father doesn't want to be known apart from his commissioning of the Son. This shows to us the Father's love, the Father's tender care. And this shows to us what true love is, by the Son of God laying down his life for us according to the will of the Trinity, the intra-conversation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is how our sins may be washed away and God's anger taken away. So we seek to know truly God as he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and thus then know the truth as that one true God. The Spirit of truth leads us into all truth. And he, not it, but the Holy Spirit, he does so as he points us to the suffering and death and resurrection of the Son, who alone became man and assumed your sin for you. This interworking of the Trinity in our creation for salvation, it's the center of all truth itself. And that, the purpose to save, to love as the Trinity loves one another, the persons. That the Father would send the Son to assume our humanity, to go to earth, to this banana republic of a world. Jesus would go right into the kangaroo court of Jerusalem to redeem sinful men from this sinful earth, to redeem us in loving obedience to God. This truth is what causes us to be reborn from above, that in holy baptism, the Holy Spirit joins us to this truth, joins us to the Son and his crucifixion and resurrection, and joins us with him in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we all would be truly one with God, in God, under God. So our Holy Spirit, the Helper, is the author and revealer of the Holy Scriptures as he works through the apostles. And this is how we know that the Scriptures are true. He made those men perfect in the moments that those men were writing the truths that Jesus promised they would remember perfectly. And this must be because without such promise of this perfection of the Scriptures, we would be utterly lost. It would be blind leading the blind. But no, thanks be to God that he desired to share such knowledge, such hope with us who are repentant of our sin and may be forgiven, are indeed forgiven. And so, we don't need any tradition beyond that which is written down in the Bible. It is certainly useful to see what our fathers have thought about as it relates to the Scriptures. But no, we don't need the church tradition as its own unwritten authority next to the Scriptures, a la Roman Catholics. We also don't need our own sinful human reason to be judge over the Bible to determine what is the Word of God and what isn't. Allah, much of Protestant, generally speaking, the Council of Churches, Protestantism, or Methodism, where reason stands as an authority alongside the Bible, by no means. It's all the Word of God. As Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So that there's no more truth that's needing to be revealed than what has been passed down in Holy Writ. Nevertheless, in spite of this, of course, Christian denominations and their own beliefs we've talked about, but it's even become fashionable, and we should watch out for it, to claim that there are books of the New Testament that are missing from our Bibles that ought to be there, and that it's only through the power structures that cause the Bible to be the way it is today. This is a pretend truth that comes not from the one who died and didn't stay dead. No, this pretend truth that there are books missing from our Bibles comes from, just to do the quick search of it on the internet, a clickbait YouTube video named Bible Secrets Revealed, The Forbidden Scriptures Lost to Time. And as I wondered whether to teach on this, I was like, oh, maybe, maybe not. Oh, 6.9 million views. Man. There must be something to it, right? And it was even uploaded only a year ago, so it's not outdated. It's not 2,000 years old like those Christians have with their archaic beliefs. No, here's that real seal of approval. It's got those millions of views. It's got it's recent. It's only a year ago, but the uploader of the video, the History Channel, with its trademark gold H, totally authoritative. So here we are, ready to be enlightened by these books and chapters that were originally censored, that original book banning, as it were. But this is a con. Watch out for it. Designed by those even wanting to profit off the spirit of our age. The church has known of these alleged other gospels ever since they were forged in the second century by splinter groups pretending to be Christian. No, they weren't lost and forgotten. They were rejected, not because the ones had happened to have power that rejected them. No, it's because they weren't apostolic. Even the normal Christian can see the truths handed down from them, from the apostles, and say, this Gospel of Thomas was not written by Thomas. So why? Now that we've cleared up to beware against those fake gospels, why does our world have such desire to cast doubt on the Holy Scriptures? And it's because of the question Pontius Pilate asked to Jesus. What is truth? Deep down in our sinful nature, we're afraid of absolute truth. That which is undeniable, and to that which God would even hold us accountable to. When many in our world think of someone being certain of truth, they think of the cultists, maybe even terrorists. But the actual truth to which the Spirit bears witness, it is not terrifying. It's wonderful. Would we allow ourselves to have the ears to hear all of it, all of the comforting truth, the truth by which we are saved, by which we are forgiven, by which we are freed, that brings us into fellowship with God? And yes, this truth will convict you, will convict all of us of our sin. God would have it no other way. But God be praised. There is forgiveness right there in that scripture. That after He judges our iniquity in that law, He consoles us with gospel that Jesus is that perfect substitute who bore all of our iniquity on the cross. God gives his own donation of the solution to our sin. God be praised. We don't need to be terrified of the truth. We don't even need to be terrified of this mysterious doctrine of the Trinity. It's remarkable. It is even beyond our rational brain's ability to understand. But we need not be afraid of it because of how clear Jesus is. God is one God. That one essence is three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The world might think we're tritheists, just pretending to believe in one God. Or they may think of us as one God, but maybe just saying there are three parts of God. No, as ridiculous as it might sound to the world, God is one God, one essence, and he is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this is the way God would have us hear and speak of him. For this is the knowledge that sets us free. It's important to know truths in the world: farming, nursing, how to teach, how to run a business, how to arrange an office, time manage, predict the weather. All of these things are valuable knowledge, but nothing surpasses the knowledge of God. To know him and to trust in him and to rejoice in it as the truth that sets us free. God be praised for this joy and this peace and this love that doesn't grow old. It is never archaic. It is always contemporary, always relevant, always beautiful, always consoling, no matter what happens in our world. God be praised that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.